Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord and good evening. And may the Lord bless all the veterans out there that have given their lives and sacrificed for the country. We thank God for each and every one of you. I want to honor you and thank God that you're alive to be able to hear the honor, because this is Memorial Day, that we are in remembering those that died for our rights, to freedom that they are vastly trying to take away. Let us go in prayer and give God all his glory and all his praise. Almighty Father God, we enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving, glorifying, exalting, magnifying, and praising you. Praise be to you, Almighty God, Abba, Elohim, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, Most High God. We come in the blessed, wonderful, mighty, only name that has power here on earth and in heaven, that you have given all authority and power to, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord who died in my stead. In the name of Jesus we come, Lord, two or three or ever how many it will be. We thank you, Father, for all those military veterans and soldiers and that have given their life for the sacrifice. We pray, Father, for the soldiers that are in the army of Jesus Christ, because we are yet at war, and we are steady pounding the pavement for to glorify, magnify, and exalt you, and to point all men to you, Lord God. Not to apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, deacons, and bishops, and all those other titles in the Word of God, but to you, God, alone do we point. Do we exalt? Do we magnify? We ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to forgive us for all sin that we have committed, past, present, and future. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless the body of Christ. In Christ, we ask you, Lord, to bless them that have called on your name. The word of God said, let everyone that call on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We ask you, God, to bless them. We ask you to bless and let your healing go forth for all that are sick, any place, the ears, the throat, the body, the breath, the hips, the back, the legs, the arms, the fingers, the eyes, the brain. Anywhere from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, Father, we come against sickness, because your words say that you would that we would be in health even as our even as our soul prosper and that we would be in health. And in Psalms 103, 1, 2, 3 say, you healeth all of our diseases, all of them, Father, and forgiveth all of our iniquities. That's your word, God, and we stand on your word, not my opinion, not my theory. We stand on your word. We thank you, Father, for eternal life. We thank you for eternal life, for the hope of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, because no other religion, no other church offers eternal life. Yet all men are going to live forever one place or the other. So we thank you, Father, for this day. In the name of Jesus, we go to the prisons. We ask you to bless those that are in the high authorities. We ask you to bless all those that are sick and afflicted. And all of our enemies, bless our enemies, Lord, in the mighty name. And most of all, God, do bless all those that lift your name up without doubting in praise and glorifying and magnifying and teaching men to follow you in Jesus' name and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God this day. This year, 28th of May, we're getting down to the stretch of the end. This is a Memorial Day. And I was teaching, I asked a question last week. How many believe once saved, always saved? I'm going to stay on that subject for several weeks because I found out, much to my pain and hurt, that there are many people who don't believe. And so I want to give you scriptures tonight, and I also want to pray for you. Life is a, this journey, Christian, this is a Christian journey we are on. We're going to be learning until we give up the ghost. We're going to be advancing. None of us have arrived. None of us know everything there is. But we know that Jesus Christ said, He is the door. What do y'all think that meant? And if any man come through him, you got to come in the door. Well, all of Matthew, you know, the Gospels, the four Gospels, they're teaching you about the first steps to enter in to eternal life. You know, you got to come in. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He is the way to eternal life in Christ. I want you to make a note of that. Capital I-N, capital C-H-R-I-S-T. Or you could do capital I-N, capital J-E-S-U-S. Or you could do capital I-N, Y-A-S-U-A, Yeshua. Either way, if you want to do the Hebrew pronouncement. But there is power in Christ, in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no power in all them other titles. Only in Christ is the name. The name of Jesus has power. Matthew, I want to read y'all something right quick. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Oh, love the Lord, I say. Oh, love the Lord. Psalm 16:1. I want you to know, and if in this life we only have hope, 1 Corinthians 6:15, 17, 18, and 19 is where I'm going to go. If in Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Now, we know Jesus Christ said in the four Gospels, in vain do they worship me for teachings and doctrines. Doctrine means teaching, for teachings and doctrines and commandments of men. If you follow man, you're going to be lost. If you follow the word of God, that you have eternal, you can have eternal life. Now, if you believe that Christ died for you and was buried and rose, that is the gospel that is in Galatians. This is a form of doctrine teaching that you must know in your heart that Christ died for you and that he has, and every all of his promises are for you. You got to know that. So I'm in pain spiritually for those who don't have an assurance. 1 John makes it very, let's go there. 1 John makes it very, very plain. It's not a guessing game. It ain't something you hope for only. It's something you need to know. Whosoever, 1 John, let's let us see, 1 John 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have, do you hear that, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteousness. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, remember that. Remember that. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, that now that is very, very, very important, you guys, truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Understand this. Verse 6, 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. See, there's let the mind of Christ be in you, walk as he walked, speak as he speaks, and know that you are seated with him in heavenly places, you know? So these are very important things for you to apply to yourself, because if you're still in doubt whether you're going to heaven, you got serious. There's seriously something wrong. St. John chapter 3, remember, it taught us that the only way to get in the kingdom is to be born again. That's the only way. So if you're born again, and it's an actual experience, it's not just with the mouth that we confess and believe in our heart, but it's also an experience that takes place in your soul. The Bible calls it, there's many names, saved, regenerated, passed from death, because all men are dead. Anybody ain't in Christ, I keep wanting you to know. I-N, capital C-H-R-I-S-T. Anybody that's not in Christ is dead. I don't care if the blood is running warm in their body. Understand that. If you're not born again, you are dead. Now, if you are listening to me, you have been drawn to Christ. If you go to church, you're kind of on the road. If you ain't been born again, but you can know that you've been born again without ever doubting, okay? So, he that saith he abide in him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him, in you, because the darkness is past, and true light now shineth. This is meaning you're no longer on your way to hell. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And I wanted to show you that because I want you to understand that's exactly what the lost are. They are blinded. They are in dark. They're dead. They're blind. and their ears have been stopped up that they can't hear the truth. And as you already, some of you already know, that the Word of God teaches us that God is the one who draws us to Christ. We can't even take Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me go over there. But in 1 John, I was reading, it's that you might know that you have eternal life. And not guess, not think, that you know you got eternal life. I'm sorry for anybody who don't know they saved. I am saved. It ain't a guess. And it has nothing to do with how good I have been or can be, because I'm not going to heaven because I've been good. I'm righteous because I'm in Christ, not in my own righteousness. Now, because I love God, you just heard me read, and because he loves me, I want to please him. So therefore, I do all those things, First Romans chapter 12 and 1, and all the things that Jesus told us about. But you got to know who he's talking to, and always get an understanding above everything. Get an understanding. But when he was on earth, that was before he had made the sacrifice. And he was telling us, just like Revelation tells us of things, it tells you plainly, of things to come, things that have passed, and things present. So you got to learn how to rightly divide the word of God so that you'll know whom you are, who you are, and where you're going. You know, I've heard that a person would go to church all their life, get themselves titles, and don't know that they're going to heaven. Don't know the word of God is life. It ain't just here written on pages. This is life. And when you get born again, you receive a portion of the Holy Spirit. By measure, the word of God says in 1 Corinthians. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, he is God, and he comes to live inside of you. And when he comes to live inside of you, he passes you. That old man, that old spirit that been dead becomes quickened and made alive. That's what quickened means, to make alive. So then you received eternal life when that happened to you. Now, if that didn't happen to you, then you are. 1 Corinthians 15:17, 18, and 19, and you are most miserable, because if in this life only you have hope, then you are men of most misery. So I asked that question last week, and to even say that you believe you can lose your salvation is to blaspheme. It's to blaspheme. Let me tell you why. Because the promise in St. John chapter 3, let me read it to you. St. John chapter 3 is, God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, you know, I'm hurt that people think that their works gonna save them, that they being good and as they call it, being holy. Being holy is absolutely necessary, but not your holiness, God's holiness. Obeying God is what makes you holy. The Holy Ghost inside of you makes you holy. Yes, I'm not advocating sin under no circumstance, because the word of God truly say, be ye holy, for God is holy. And the Bible say we have been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, how did I get righteous? Because Christ came and lived in me, came and made his abode inside of me. I was in my flesh, in my own strength, in all the good I could ever be, I could never be righteous. So, yes, I don't cuss, drink, smoke, or commit adultery, fornication, or lie, cheat, steal, all the Ten Commandments plus the 612, 613. If I did none of them in my natural nature flesh, I would still not be holy. So don't let people tell you just because they got a list of all them don'ts they don't do that they holy. Because let me tell you, behind that is pride, arrogance, self-righteousness, egotistic, ego, exaltation, all of those are evil. All of those are evil. Anytime I can brag just because I don't commit adultery or fornicate or, you know, who's keeping me from doing that? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't make my boast in myself. I make my boast in the Lord. And if I have all of that and still don't have love, if I walk a straight and narrow and don't have the love for my enemies and my brothers and my sisters and those who hate me and say all manner of evil for me, it will profit me nothing. In vain, the word God says, do they worship me. For eternal life is a promise. You better latch on to it. I'm begging you. I want to give you all the scriptures. And I came prepared tonight to give you some of the scriptures that I know some people stand on. But let me tell you, Ephesians chapter 1 said that before the foundation of the world, we was chosen, predestinated, and elected. Now, if you don't think you in that number, I urge you to go on a fast, withdraw yourself from all these organizations you in and seek the Lord with everything you got, because we in the last day. We in the last day. There's nothing more serious than getting to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're not sure you got eternal life is in the Bible 54 times. 54 times. Everlasting life has a more dynamic and vibrant summary. According to this to the English language, eternal means without beginning or end, always existing, lasting forever, lasting for a very long time, for an indefinite long time. Difference between everlasting and eternal, that it is very little difference, because they're gonna it is never gonna end. And so as I've tried to show you these four or five years I've been on here, is that you're gonna live forever one way, one place or the other. So if you don't believe you have eternal life with God Almighty, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the mighty Holy Spirit, these three are one, not three, but one. If you don't believe you got eternal life, you've been serious. You got serious problems. That means all your confessions, all you doing is lost. The Bible say the biggest sin you could You don't have to be a liar, a thief, a whoremonger, a adulterer, a fornicator to go to hell. Don't let nobody fool you. All you've got to do is reject Jesus Christ to go to hell, to live eternal damn. That's the price of eternal damnation, is rejecting the only sacrifice that God has given mankind. God, I've told you many times, God showed me a vision of him crying because man rejected his only son. I told you last year about Ali when he died. He was on TV. His wife was on TV many times saying he wanted to go to heaven. She was sincere and he was sincere. But he had rejected the only way to heaven. There ain't but one way to go to heaven. There ain't but one way to have eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. Every letter that's written in the New Testament that Paul wrote was to saints. That you can't be a saint unless you're in Christ. In Christ. Not in somebody's church, but in Christ. Because in the church, in Christ is where we get our authority. In Christ is where we get our victory. In Christ is where we overcome. In Christ is where we have the strength and the authority to walk in love and to resist the devil and fight all manner of evil and be on this journey through all that. In Christ, the most important thing you can learn is in Christ. And in Christ, he is eternal life. He is eternal life. Oh, my Savior, my God. I'm telling you, as God is merciful and he's loving. But if you don't receive who you are in Christ, not a religion, not a theology, but in Christ to apply for yourself, to learn how to walk and apply the victory in your life and to be an overcomer. Because it's going to be some rough roads. It's going to be some rough roads even if you ain't in Christ. Even if you're just a religious person going to church, you still going to have problems. But why not make your calling and election sure? I'm down to 27 minutes, and I didn't even get to go through half of what I had put out to write to you. But I came straight to you from off the top of my head and not even from none of my notes, because I know that in Christ I am the righteous. I have been made the righteousness of Christ. That's in Galatians. That's in Colossians. That's in the whole Old New Testament. It teaches who we are. Don't believe. Don't let the lies and religion fool you. Yes, it's good to be holy, but Jesus Christ has made us holy. He has made us to sit, 1 John 4:17, in heavenly places. We're seated with him. We have been made the righteousness of Christ. Not Titus 2. Not by works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. Don't get these people. Don't let these religious people teach you that, yes, don't let nobody twist my words, too, because somebody lied and said that I said you don't have to be holy. You do have to be holy, but you can't be your holy. You got to be God's holy. God is the one makes us holy. The Holy Spirit inside of me, God lives in me. Now, in order for that not to be, then you got to say, like I told you last week, you better get your pen and erase all these things. In Christ, we have victory. In Christ, I am an overcomer. In Christ, I have eternal life. In Christ, I have everlasting life. In Christ, I have the all the things in Christ over and over, you know. I'm going to read to you one. Ooh, I'm down to 1 minute. Ephesians chapter 1. Before I go out in Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful now. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, listen at this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, not in Ruth, not in my own walking up good, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of the great of his grace, wherein he hath made us, he hath made me accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Listen at this. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I can't go no longer. My time is up. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful night.
Amen. We thank God for teaching, bringing the word. We have somebody that's going to come on right now. The prophetess. Valerie, are you there? Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, go ahead. God bless you.
Greetings to each and every one of you this evening. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. Oh, today is a day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, today is a day that we celebrate Memorial Day. And as I was thinking about this, it's a day that we pause to remember those who have died in military service, to preserve our freedom, and to ensure our liberty. But there are many soldiers who have enlisted in God's army to stand in the gap and build up a hedge for the freedoms and liberty in the kingdom of God. You know, we live in perilous times right now, and it seems like we're engaged in many civil wars where we fight against one another. But according to Ephesians 6 and 12, the word of God tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so our true enemy is the devil. Our enemy is sin. We must learn to hate what God hates and learn to love what God loves. Taking from Proverbs 6, 16, and 19, it gives us seven of those things that God hates. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. And it says that these six things the Lord hates, indeed seven are repulsive to him: a proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that creates wicked plans, feet that run swiftly to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, even half-truths, and one who spreads discords or rumors among brothers. Now, as citizens of the kingdom of God and soldiers in God's army, we must learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Separates us from him. Just think about that. Now let's take a moment or two to talk about his love. Love is one of the greatest weapons in God's arsenal. But love without sacrifice is not true love at all. God demonstrated his love when he sent his son to die on a cross at Calvary, on behalf of fallen humanity. God did that. Sent his son because he loved the world. There's no greater show of love than the love that Jesus Christ exhibited on that cross when he laid down his life for humanity. Sacrifice. And you know, as we walk this land and we come across people, the love that we show to others has sacrifice. When we give of ourselves, when we give of our time, when we give of our finances, go to assist someone in need, that's sacrifice. Love is more than a feeling. It's an action. Love does not give up. It does not quit. It does not shut up. Love is the voice that's crying in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Love is continually drawing people back to God, in right relationship with God, not to religion, but to relationship. Love will pick you up when you have fallen. Love will forgive you when you have committed a wrong or offense to someone else. Love will bow its knees before a holy God and stand in the gap and cry out on behalf of another. Love will trust and believe, and it will never give up on God. Jude 1:24 says, there's one who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence, single fault. Now the word says that God's church shall be called, that his house shall be called a house of prayer for all people and of all nations. And if ever there's a time that we need to pray, it's now. He tells us to pray without ceasing. God loves you and I so much that he made a way for us to be restored and reconciled back to him through his son, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, by way of repentance, by way of his shed blood. He was the love that was sacrificed, and he paid it with his own life. He brought us back to God by giving his life. But repentance is more than saying, I'm sorry. Repentance means to change. To change your direction, to change your mind, change the way you think. Jesus came against the Pharisees and the Sadducees who would argue and who would struggle with him over religious ways. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looked at the heart. And what we may not see and what we may not know, God knows. But I'm here to tell you today, is not your sister or your brother. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there are powers and there are evil works and doings in this earth realm by the enemy of God who sought out from the very beginning to destroy us. He pitted Eve against Adam, and Adam against Eve, and Adam against God. When God gave Adam an instruction, he had given Adam everything, made him ruler of everything, dominion of everything. And he gave him one instruction, the knowledge of good and of evil. But the devil came along to tempt Eve, to tell her that if she ate that fruit, she would be like God. I believe that Adam and Eve loved God so much that they wanted to be like him. The pride of the enemy wanted to be like God, and he raised himself up, and he then hated man so much because God created him in his image and in his likeness that God loves the most. And he hasn't stopped fighting for that cause. If he could destroy us and if he can keep us at odds against each other, and we never realize the power of coming together on one accord and in unity, fighting against him instead of fighting against one another. Our strength is in love, and our strength is in unity. Jesus was in the garden praying for us. And he said, God, I pray for these, that they would be one just as you and I are one. That was God's prayer. That was his legacy, that he prayed might be one. He calls us the body. The hand can't do without the arm. The arm can't do without the neck. The neck cannot do without the head. Without the body, without the inner parts, workings of the body, we cannot survive. God needs every one of us. And he's called us to a place. He said, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and build up a hedge. That man was Christ. But Christ said that we would be recognized and known by our love, and that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow after him. So just as Jesus walked this land, he showed us how to walk. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to sacrifice. He showed us how to love. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're perfected in him. Because he is the one, according to Ephesians 4 and 24, it implores us to put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we come to Christ, he said, old things have passed away, and behold, now we are a new creation. 29 and 14 says, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. See, we have to leave the old man behind and clothe ourselves in the new man daily. We have to purpose to walk in the newness of life. We have to wear the garment of praise, the garment that will magnify and glorify our Lord. Righteousness is part of the armor of God. And he tells us to put on the full armor of God every day so that we can fight the good fight of faith and that we can war against the real enemy of God. Ephesians 4 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. God wants us to stand. He don't want us to whimper. And he don't want you fighting in the flesh. This warfare is a warfare in the spirit. And he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We have to pray. Righteousness is your breastplate. It will guard your heart with all diligence. It will keep you in right standing with God, and it will protect the word that is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It will guard your emotions of your love. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Jesus is able to keep us from falling, and he will present us faultless with great joy. Jesus is coming back, and he's looking for his bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And I believe that God is looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for his army who will get up and stand in the gap and pray against the injustices in the heavenly, in the spirit, and not war against one another and be fruitless. Jesus said he's the vine and we are the branches. We cannot do it without God. In all of our ways, we should acknowledge him. In him should we trust. In him should we live. In him we shall breathe. In him we shall have our being. It's in God. It said that he will perfect those things which concerns him. But he gave us a will, and we must submit our will under the mighty hand of God. He said that if we would humble ourselves in his sight, that he is faithful and just, he will raise us up. He will lift you up. And when it seems those times that you are lonely and that you are in the battle by yourself, you have to know that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He has the final word. Sometimes we just give up on God a little bit too soon. I remember asking my niece, who's a captain in the Army, I said, when you're on the battlefield, when do you stop fighting? When do you give up? And she said, you never give up. And she served this country. And in her heart of hearts, what she fought for the liberties and the freedoms and the rights of others, she said, you don't give up. Why do we give up on God? Why do we quit praying? Why do we quit believing? Why do we turn away? Lies are hanging in the balance between a heaven and a hell. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. We must begin to look like Christ, clothe ourselves in his garments, put on his armor. It's not even our armor. He said, put on the full armor of God. Clothe yourselves in holiness. Clothe yourselves in salvation. Clothe yourselves in God. He has anointed us just like Jesus was anointed to bring liberty and freedom to others, to open up our mouths and speak forth the words of life, not death. Spirit of infirmity, death to those who are oppressed and obsessed by devils and demons, but life to the spirit of man, life to the soul. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. And walk in the fullness of what God has imparted in you. Not wrestling against one another. Know your enemy. Know who your enemy is. But also rest and trust in the God that you serve. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every listener. I thank you for every saint. I thank you for every soldier, Lord God. I thank you for those who stand in the gap on behalf of others. I pray for those, Lord God, the laborers who are in the field, as we lift up and pray for this nation, communities, as we pray for the lost, as we pray for our children, God. May we leave a legacy, Lord God, a trail back to you, Jesus, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. May we walk lifting up your name, God, lifting you up, Jesus, for you compel men to come to you. You said that if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. That is not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And Father, I pray that boldness will begin to come upon your people, that truth and righteousness will be at the realm of our salvation, Lord God, that we will walk the way you want us to walk, Lord God, and love the way you want us to love, that we will love one another so much that we will not leave them wounded, God, that we will not tear them down, but, God, that we will heal their wounds and lift them up, and that we will pray and stand in the gap for the needs of your people. Father, whatever the need, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus to touch, in the name of Jesus, and by his precious blood, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you the praise in our Lord and Savior Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Hunter, we have a little bit of time left.
Yes. Go ahead. And I know the night that night. Go ahead, prophetess. Go ahead.
If there's anyone who has a prayer need, where we can come together and touch and agree. If you're in a situation that you need a miracle, that you need God to move on your behalf, we ask you to present it now so that we can stand in the gap and pray.
As I always say, my prayer request is mercy, mercy, mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Christ our Savior,
yes, 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 Father. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness that is better than life, God. We thank you, Lord God, that your eyes continue to look to and fro, Lord God, looking for those who are lost. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us, for all that you are doing even now. We thank you that you're coming back, Lord God, that you're perfecting those things which concern us. We thank you, Lord God, that even when we don't speak or petition, Lord God, you know our hearts. And because you love us, Lord God, sometimes you answer prayer, Lord God, without a word being said. But I pray, Lord God, for those, Lord God, who are hurting. I pray, Lord God, for the tender mercies of God to lift them up, Lord. I don't pray, Lord God, for houses or land, but God, I pray for your presence. I pray for your power. I pray for your majesty and your greatness to dwell in our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, that every fetter be broken, every wound be healed, every bondage be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Anybody got any statements or questions they want to ask tonight while we're on the air?
Yes, I would like just to read a couple of verses out of Ezekiel. It seemed to support what our sister has been talking about and calling out men and women into that gap. And Ezekiel 3 said, "And he said unto me, Son of man, call thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll, this roll that I give thee. Then eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." And as our sister was speaking, I was thinking in terms of the word of God, as it speaks truth unto mankind. For what she also talked about was the love of God. And we are so thankful to hear these things, for the word of God is true. And as he gives truth to us, it's up to us to give truth to others through our testimonies that they would know of the love of God. So may God bless you and keep you and continue teaching, and that our sister would continue to preach unto us to carry forth with that word, that we could speak it to others, for it is the truth of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen, my brother. Amen. Prophetess, you in charge.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I thank God for my sisters and brothers. I really thank God for I remember the day when I first heard his voice, when I first recognized his voice. I was in trouble. And it wasn't man that spoke to me. I was in a situation between life and death. And I didn't know anything about the word. Every time I tell you, I wanted to read the Bible. My mother was a strong Christian woman. And every time I'd opened it up, I'd fall asleep. I couldn't get it. But, you know, my mother taught me two prayers, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd number of Psalms. And when I found myself in trouble, I began to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I didn't even know him. But I said those words that my mother taught me, that she put in my spirit. And when I got to, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil," I had no idea what that meant. But I heard a voice said, "But you're not going to die. You're going to live." That was over 40 years ago. And I humbled God. He's taken me places I never thought I'd go. He's opened doors I never thought I'd walk through. And he's given me a family, a natural family where it's full of love, and a spiritual family that's full of love. How great is the God that I serve. And I don't teach religion. I teach relationship. Because that's what God wants. He wants to have a relationship with his creation. He doesn't always want us seeking him for what's in his hand. He wants us to seek his face. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of Jesus. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. For all ye that are heavy laden and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, we walk into this relationship with God so that we can rest. Rest in him. Even when we're fighting, he gives us peace in the midst of the storm. This is the God we serve. This is the God that we come to know and to love. But he's like a father. He teaches his ways through our parents and through our children and through people. We learn from about him through other people as well. Because he's put himself inside of us. And if you can only imagine what would happen if we came together in love and in unity and a one accord to fight the real enemy, the yokes that would be destroyed off of people's lives. We can pray cancer up out of this planet. We don't have to walk sick and burned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the kingdom of God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Well, today has been that day where we have been inspired. We have heard the word of God. We learned so much. It behooves us to take the word of God and let it less digest it. The more we eat of the word, as the gentleman said out of Ezekiel, the more we eat the word, the more it becomes real to us. But I want to thank y'all this night, because tonight's a night that every veteran in the United States of America, we salute them. We salute them. We salute them. Male and female, those who've fallen, those who've gotten up. And I want to thank all of you. So one thing else we'll do, the next time we come together, we'll give God the praise and the glory. Until tomorrow night, God bless you and the peace of God be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed, Pastor Hunter, and
Amen.
All of those who are listening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.